And I know that TJ's probably a bit distracted. He probably has ESPN updates on his computer right now.
Why would you say such a thing?
Gee, I don't know. I will say that they're leading 13-10. So,
because the basically a preview of the AFC Championship game is on right now.
Yeah. Fortunately, the best thing about this these days is that you can get replays all the time. It's not like you're going to miss anything.
Yeah, that's true. I just have the score sitting off to the side so I can see what's going on.
Okay. And then you see, oh, Patrick Mahomes was injured for the year with a torn ACL. Oh, well.
That would be upsetting.
To say the least. It's not like a prominent running back of my team got out for the season from a torn ACL.
Yeah.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 589, recorded on September 28th, 2020.
Welcome to the 589th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 422nd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
You know, I think we're going to skip what have you been playing for this week because there's so much news. And really, I've just been working on a review of Tennis World Tour 2. So, and I really don't have much to say about it yet. And I'm pretty sure TJ and Scott are playing the same thing they're playing every week. Is there anything startlingly new you're playing?
Yeah, Genshin Impact just released today, and it's a free-to-play game.
What game?
Genshin Impact.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, people have been calling it a Zelda clone,
oh, okay.
Or Breath of the Wild clone.
I see
it's a free-to-play
Zelda
game.
Clones starting to pop up.
I don't think it's a Zelda clone. It just has kind of the same art style, but other than that, it's not really a Zelda clone.
No, but there was a game that was shown at TGS, and oh, by the way, TGS is going on right now, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, is that the, Phoenix Rising game?
Yeah, it's Crusader of Senti that is the Zelda clone.
Oh, that's a lot. But anyways, so I was saying Genshin Impact came out today, and I was going to try that and see what it's like, because it's free-to-play, and they have in-app purchases, but you can ignore them, I think. And
well, it is free-to-play, so.
Yeah. So,
Scott, have you been playing anything startlingly new? TJ.
I played the heck out of Hades this last week.
Oh, okay. So, we talked about Hades last week, I think. It's just basically the Diablo that is heavy metal.
It sounds pretty cool.
I don't know if I'd say Diablo. I mean, it's like Binding of Isaac. It's just extremely stylized and really good.
You know, that reminds me. Are you going to play Beats Per Minute or BPM Beats Per Minute?
I don't know.
Okay, for those who don't know, it's basically a first-person shooter that's Crypt of the Necrodancer. Basically, you have to shoot in time with the music.
There's another game that's coming out like that called Metal Hellsinger, which sounds way more up my alley.
Okay. Well, both of them. Well, I mean, BPM Beats Per Minute actually does have a Norse mythology theme to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hades is incredibly good. I just finished up a review for it, and I have a few other things coming up for it. Damn, that game is good. It's like, I think it's one of the first roguelikes I've ever played that makes it feel like you're progressing even when you're dying. Like, there are certain progression systems in other games, but it has such a good narrative that moves along whether you're winning or losing in Hades, and like dying is kind of a part of that narrative.
Yeah. Should we mention that Supergiant Games keeps on doing a different game every time they release a game?
Yes.
You know, first you have Bastion, then you have Transistor, then you have Pyre, Then you have Hades, and all of them are different games.
Very different. Like, Bastion was almost purely just action-adventure with a pretty linear path.
And a Barry White-type announcer.
Transistor is sort of a mix of real-time and turn-based strategy RPG. Pyre, arguably a sports game.
Yeah. Fantasy basketball.
And then you got Hades, which is an action adventure roguelike.
If I remember, Pyre is the one in which every time one of your players wins, they go to heaven, and you're stuck without them.
Yeah, you kind of you have to deal with two players while one of your players scored. So it's interesting, like the way it worked. I like that game a lot.
It's the Spiritfarer of basketball.
But Hades has been extremely good. I love the characters. Like, I was actually joking about it today. I would play a dating sim based on Hades.
Don't suggest that they might actually do it now. They might. You never know. Not with Supergiant Games. But, the Japanese will make a dating sim out of anything. I mean, Hadafo Boyfriend is about dating pigeons.
Yeah, but, like, Hades has a ton of super hot mythological figures.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And Zeus, who can't keep it in his pants, so yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they're all fun to interact with. They all, like, you run into the gods when you're out in the levels themselves, and then you have characters that are sort of at your quote-unquote home base. And, like, every time you die or every time you run into them, or even based on, like, if you've – there are bosses that have dialogue with you, and they'll have different dialogue based on whether or not you killed them or they defeated you or you brought a certain weapon or you have a certain god helping you. And, like, it's so interesting the way that the dialogue in that game and narrative adapts to, like, whatever happened leading up to that point. Right. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah. And there's another news item which we don't have room for, but we might as well touch on. It's going to be more of a thing next week when they actually decide. They're doing another mob vote. I mean, they did one back in 2017, I believe, and now they're doing a new one. But the one in 2017 was all about, what was it, villains?
It was the last mob vote was about the Phantom, the, I guess, some sort of water creature, a monster that could eat your enchantments, and then a blaze boss. It would be like a combination of several blazes coming together and being a giant blaze, which people kept asking for during the Nether update. They were like, oh, you got to bring this mob back because you're doing a Nether update.
Yeah.
But
and I'm going to do this all from memory now. There are three disparate ones. One is the Isolager, which is basically an Illager who's in the winter snowy areas.
Yeah, and casts, like, ice clouds at you when you approach them, so they're very hostile.
Right. The next one is the Moobloom, which is a cow with a flower on his back.
Yellow flowers, and they interact with bees.
Yeah. And then you have the Glowing Squid.
Yeah. Which would be a nice, pretty aesthetic for the ocean, if you wanted.
Yeah. So I'm going to predict that the Moobloom will win.
I think I would like the Glowing Squid, but I feel like there's a lot of people that seem to want challenge in the game, and so they'll want to add in a new mob that'll be specific to the mountain.
You want hostile? So you're saying the Isolager will win?
Yeah, I think the Isolager will win. I want the Squid to win, but I think it'll probably be the Isolager.
I think the Moobloom will win, because how can you resist not having a cow that also you can raise flowers on?
I can resist very easily. But we'll see. And there's supposed to be a big announcement, I guess,
this time. The announcement will be on the 4th, so we'll know by next week.
Yeah.
Or is it the 3rd? Whatever. It's going to be over this weekend. That's right. Minecon is this weekend.
Yes.
So,
October 3rd.
Are you going to be watching the live stream?
Yeah, I'll watch the live stream.
What are you specifically looking for? And I'll be able to vote. Besides the vote.
What I'm looking forward to is what the next update is going to be. And I'm hoping that they'll bring in some biome updates, like those tree biomes, like there was a swamp update, there was going to be a savanna and then desert update, and they have all these trees, and I would like to see them do like just a big biome update. Would be nice.
So anyways, we're going to move on to game news, and this item is kind of breaking, sort of, kind of, because it's a rumor. And it's Titanfall 3 is in development at Respawn, Apex Legends leaker claims. This comes to us from Screen Rant. Respawn Entertainment, better known as the studio behind the wildly successful Battle Royale game Apex Legends, has purportedly started development on Titanfall 3. Though earlier entries in the Titanfall series have thrived in their own right, Respawn has remained focused on Apex Legends, which took the gaming world by storm when it was released February 2019. According to the Dexerto report, the existence of Titanfall 3 may be very real. The article cites a September 26th tweet from streamer The Neon Beast that stated, "Titanfall 3 for real. I'm pretty sure the leakers can say the same because we have totally different sources. The good thing is, even with different sources, the rumor is exactly the same." In response, Biased12, that's not an L, that's an I. Biased12, an Apex Legends leaker and data miner, echoed the rumor, effectively throwing in his confirmation that Titanfall 3 is or will be coming together soon. Unfortunately, both tweets have been deleted. Here's the thing about Apex Legends. It is one of those games that just bursts on the scene. But the problem with multiplayer-only games is that sometimes they're very ephemeral. People get bored of them, and they'll quit. When you have a game with a, you know, game, you know, that you have to pay for and that has a single-player campaign, those tend to be remembered, like Titanfall 2. So I'm inclined to believe that they're making a Titanfall 3. I mean, they'd be stupid not to. And it's been a while. TJ, you're working with Shaq News. What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything on the front of like new Titanfall, but like I do know that like from my personal experience, I've since deleted Apex Legends, and for one thing, it's mostly because like the game is just too chock full of cheaters, and EA and Respawn have not done enough about that.
And you have to wonder if they didn't do enough because their minds are on something else.
Yeah, like I just stopped having fun with the game at a certain point. Like it's, for one, Battle Royale games are too stressful to me because of how much effort you have to put in for to win, and so how little you get back in return for any of it. Right. And I just think that, like, I mean, and then you have the fact that there are people in the game that are just straight up blatantly cheating. And it used to be pretty manageable, but now it's like, I don't know. I run into a lot of cheaters in that game to the point where I eventually just decided this isn't worth it and I deleted the game.
A lot of cheaters sort of tells me that they're not exactly paying much attention to it. They like just shipped it out. You have to wonder if Apex Legend maybe was a money bomb for them. Just give them a quick infusion of cash and now they can finish up Titanfall 3.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would tend to agree with you, but they keep pushing like full seasons worth of content for it.
Of course they do. They want more money.
Yeah.
But releasing seasons isn't the same as releasing an entirely new game.
Yeah, it would be cool if they were up to a Titanfall 3 because I would love to do more big old battle robots.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was that guy who seldom got in his Titan. I was the guy who preferred just to stay on the ground and occasionally rodeo guys. That was me. There's nothing more fun than leaping onto the back of a Titan, damaging it from the back, and then popping in a grenade and jumping off and watching them blow up.
See, I liked the one that had the giant chest laser. That just like fire off, because I don't know, it makes me think of Gundam. I love, for my money, Titanfall probably has some of the most satisfying giant robot combat in any game I've ever played,
and also the most satisfying parkour too. I mean, wall running in Titanfall and Titanfall 2 feels so good. It feels so, it feels real, even though it's unreal. You know, sort of gravity-defying, but the wall running feels so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree that, and that's one of the things they did get right about Apex Legends is mobility in that game is like, I don't think any other shooter that I've played does
Call
mobility
Duty
as well
tried
as
to copy it if I remember correctly.
Call of Duty Infinite,
they did. They try to copy the parkour.
Yeah, maybe so.
It was Call of Duty Infinite that did it, along with the robots. They had robots too. But yeah, I mean, Titanfall was a great mix of two levels of gameplay outside of your Titan as a pilot and inside your Titan as a pilot. And while the gameplay actually was shockingly not that different, it was different enough so that you felt it felt like something completely different, you know. Obviously, because, you know, when you're in a Titan, you feel the weight, you know, and you can go toe-to-toe with the other Titans and not have... And you really don't, you really can't hide as a Titan, you know. But as a pilot, you know, you jump along the rooftops, go through the apartments, and, you know, try to make your move, you know, and make sure that you're not squished under the foot of a Titan or shot down by one of their giant machine guns.
Mm-hmm. So you can go inside buildings as a person.
That's the entire point. I mean, being outside with giant robots shooting at you, that's not fun. You have to have places to hide.
Right, it's just it's something to me a MechWarrior game like that. I wouldn't expect the interiors of a building to be accessible.
Well,
you know,
when you're playing in a mech, the buildings aren't accessible. But when you have the idea that you can also play as a pilot, here's the thing: you can only summon your pilot when you've accumulated enough time. Right, it takes time for you to. So before then, you're just a pilot. It's just a regular shooter. So you have the indoor-outdoor thing going. Because when people start summoning Titans, if you don't have your Titan, you'd better be able to, you know, hide or at least run in a place where you have relative safety. I mean, there's still windows. You can shoot through the windows. So, yeah, it was this entire thing in which you had two scales of play, one in a Titan, one as a pilot. And both were really fun.
That sounds very impressive.
Yeah, and then there's the fact that there was just, like, completely different Titans, and there was opportunities to load them out a certain way.
Yeah, you had some Titans that could almost fly. You had other Titans that were that had machine guns. You had other Titans that had lasers. You had some Titans that were just gigantic guns.
Mm-hmm. There's the one that's basically a light Titan with a sword, which is fun.
And also, they also were equipped with different types of defensive things. Like, remember when I was talking about rodeoing a Titan, you know, and plopping a grenade? Some Titans could electrify themselves so that if you tried to do that, you'd get burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
There's others that could fire electric smoke that would damage other Titans. There were some that could just create an entire big shield around them, you know, sort of like the bubble shields in Halo. There's so many things. You could kit out your Titan in any way possible, you know.
Yeah, it's very cool the way that you could, like, build for play and counterplay.
And
so,
with
yeah.
the next gen coming, Titanfall 3, and just makes me salivate to see what they wanted to do, but they couldn't do because of tech.
Yeah. I would venture as far as to say I would like to see destructible environments in a Titanfall game.
And that would be something else. You would have buildings that are completely destructible and buildings that are partially destructible. Because it would be stupid to level the entire playing field, because then what would pilots do? But you could have some buildings that were unsafe that could collapse and some that would bend. Like, some are made of, you know, basically straw, wood, and brick, basically. And here comes the big bad wolf.
Yeah. I mean, this is still just rumors at this point. There's nothing confirmed about it. So, like, it probably remains to see for some time what this will even look like. But
it's a common sense rumor, though.
Yeah, but like the fact of the matter is they're probably building this specifically for next gen if it's happening.
Oh yeah.
And it's probably going to be some time before we see original like screens of it or video.
Today, by the way, a lot of major sites have been getting their hands on Xbox Series X. And basically what the biggest news coming out of that is how fast that these solid-state drives are loading up games. Like for Control, it's like 50 seconds load on an Xbox One X and 11 seconds on an Xbox Series X. And everything that's going on there, you can expect with the PlayStation 5 too, because that also has a solid-state drive inside it. Has Shaq News gotten their hands on Xbox Series X there, TJ?
No, we haven't.
Aw. Yeah, unfortunately you're not The Verge or IGN or GameSpot.
Yeah, unfortunately not, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but hey, look, Shaq News is the news source for Steam, so that you have that at least.
Yes. And, I mean, like, we'll play them when we get them. They're not too far off, so I'm excited to see how things go. They just moved, like, brief news. This isn't something we have to spend much time on, but they just moved Yakuza Like a Dragon up to the actual launch date of the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm happy to see that game is going to be coming out, like, immediately on launch day for Xbox Series X's launch.
Yeah, both consoles don't really have that many launch titles. And I think part of it is that they're banking on people already having a huge library that they'll be able to play on games on it anyway. So, I mean, back in the day when the Xbox 360 was released, you know, sort of like they had to make sure they had a big library of Xbox 360 launch games or else they were going to get screwed.
Yeah, and this is a big – notably, this is one specifically for Xbox Series X. It's not coming to PS5 until March 2021 right now.
Wow.
Which makes me believe – like that would – it's still coming to PS4, but it's kind of like an exclusive because like why else would it not be coming to PS5?
Yeah. Well, that's why it was heavily featured in the Xbox showcase back in July. That reminds me of something, and I have you? There, people have been really down, by the way, on Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, I've been hearing that they're not happy with it going action, going away from turn base. Some people like this feel that the characters aren't that interesting to them.
It's, but you know what the irony is? Most Final Fantasy trailers just have cutscenes. This was the first Final Fantasy game that trailer that debuted that actually had gameplay in it.
There was like very short, I think, fight scenes where it looks like it's gameplay versus seeing all the cutscene stuff.
I mean, and here's the thing. I hate to tell this to people, but you know, the fighting in Final Fantasy has always been not very great. So you're not getting anything. This isn't new news. What did you want? Some pre-rendered trailer?
I mean, Final Fantasy hasn't been turn-based for 3 entries now?
Something like that, yeah.
Wait, I could have sworn there was... No, 13 had a mix, right? It had the turn-based...
13 had turn-based combat.
Yeah, but it was like turn-based action.
Yeah, it's turn-based with an activation bar, so if you don't take a turn, the enemies go and take their turn anyways.
Well, that's been around since, like, Final Fantasy VI, though.
But I'm just saying, it is still an action. It's still an action – not an action RPG, but it still is sort of a mix of turn-based and real-time.
Right? I wouldn't – well, that is to say, okay, like – Final Fantasy hasn't been the way that people want it to be with, like, the turn-taking battle thing since Final Fantasy 13.
And people have to remember that Final Fantasy 15 wasn't going to be Final Fantasy 15. It was going to be Final Fantasy Type Zero, if I remember correctly, which was an action game.
They did release Type Zero.
Yeah, I know. It was later.
Like,
much
it
later.
Was like a... Yeah. I mean, like, that's the fact of the matter. It's like, I don't know what these people are expecting at this point. Like, it hasn't been like that for... years now.
But the other problem that people had was the graphics look kind of cheap. And here's the thing. When Microsoft showed Halo Infinite, they showed pre-alpha gameplay that was like from a couple of months before, and then they showed, you know, later in the trailer, they actually showed what it looked like up to date. And when I have to wonder if they were showing Final Fantasy 16 some early alpha shots.
Well, that's what... you're watching the first trailer for a game that's years off, yeah, probably through a Twitch stream. What do you think it's going to look like?
Here's the thing. They did release it on YouTube in full resolution, and people still thought it looked chintzy.
Eh, I don't
know. I didn't think it looked chintzy.
It's just, you know, I find it hard to be excited about any Final Fantasies anymore. So, Final Fantasy 15. You know what really irritated me about Final Fantasy 15? The thing that and it probably irritated you too. Every fucking time you booted the game, it would tell you, "This is a Final Fantasy for newcomers and veteran players." Why am I being advertised that? I already have the game in my... I'm already playing the game. Why is it advertising itself at me? Why was there advertising copy in the title screen?
That is obnoxious.
Don't tell me what it is.
All you need in the...
I'm playing it.
All you need in the title is the crystal theme. I don't know why they would... I don't know.
I hope they don't do that play Final Fantasy 16. It says, Final Fantasy 16, tell your friends about it.
That would be annoying, yes.
Final Fantasy 16, look out for Final Fantasy 17. Woo! Here's your question. Do you think they're ready for a new Final Fantasy MMO, or is 14 still going on strong?
14 is doing great. They actually just released a new expansion for it.
Yeah, I always found it odd that they would name it Final Fantasy 14 when it's an MMO.
They did the same thing with
Fantasy 11, I know, but still. It's still a weird thing to do. They didn't call Elder Scrolls Online Elder Scrolls 6, did they?
No.
So?
I don't know. I guess Final Fantasy has had a weird numbering system for a long time.
Well, especially since, which was it that they had to change the numbering of Final Fantasies between the Japanese and U.S. releases?
Yeah, Final Fantasy IV became 2 over here, and Final Fantasy VI became Final Fantasy III over here, because they skipped 5 and the actual 2 and 3, and then I guess they felt they had to.
Fuck it, 7 is 7, and we're just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and then at that point, everybody found out what had happened, and that they were gypped like a couple Final Fantasy games, so they had to wait for those to be remade and put into PlayStation anthologies to actually get those.
That reminds me of how Nintendo didn't release Super Mario Bros. 2 here because it was too hard. It was too hard.
That's such a lame excuse. They said that about the Japanese version of Final Fantasy IV, but I played that one, and if anything, that one was easier because you had more items and you had more abilities for every character. I didn't see how it was harder. It seemed easier to me.
Nintendo, guess what? Capcom knew that gamers here wanted hard. What the fuck do you think Mega Man is supposed to be?
Wait, are you talking about Super Mario The Lost Levels?
Yeah, okay. It was finally released here as Super Mario The Lost Levels. That Super Mario 2 game... here was an adaptation of a completely different game. They just slapped Mario onto it. I forgot the name of it, but...
I'm going to drop a hot take. Mario The Lost Levels actually does suck. It's not cohesively put together the way that Super Mario 1 is.
No, but here's the thing. Super Mario Bros. 2, or Super Mario Bros. Lost Levels, was just supposed to be, it's just sequel escalation, you know? You thought the previous game was hard, well, we'll make this really hard.
Yeah, but it was like, poorly put together.
Still.
Like, everything in Super Mario Bros. 1 is like, it fits. It's like a big puzzle that fits. And Super Mario Brothers, The Lost Levels, the pieces are all there, but they're all jumbled up in a way that just isn't cohesive the way the first game is.
It was just a bunch of, you think Super Mario Brothers was hard, and we're gonna make Super Mario Brothers 2 even harder, and they're just gonna, it's like an expansion pack, except you pay for it. My point is that the reasoning that they didn't release it here was because they thought Americans would hate it because it was too hard.
They were right.
They wouldn't hate it because it was too hard, or else they hated Mega Man.
Have you seen the Mario Maker levels? Some of those are insane.
Yeah, but that's like 20 years later after Super Mario. What is that thing where people made just stupid hard levels for it? Kaizo Mario. That's like years after people have been playing Kaizo Mario games and they like want that now. But like way back in the day, if you gave like a 3-year-old Super Mario The Lost Levels, man, I would hate that game.
Let me ask you a question. Do you still cover speedrunners?
Not as much as I used to. We still cover like Awesome Games Done Quick and Summer Games Done Quick, but like not
like
too much
in
the off
palace, right? Okay.
Not too much in the off season.
Man, what? Let me ask you a question. What happened with the aftermath of that scandal about the cheating in at Twin Galaxies?
What, with Billy Mitchell? They banned him.
Not only that, but other people too. I mean, was it like with the cheating scandal of speedrunners as well? I mean, I was just wondering what happened to Twin Galaxies because I never hear their name anymore.
I'm not there anymore, so I don't have any.
It has nothing to do with being there. I just mean, you know, in the space, in the news, you know, it's like you never hear about Twin Galaxies anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like we did what we could with the editorial team, but like, but once I was out of there, like I washed my hands of it. I don't know what they've done since, but it's none of my business anymore.
Yeah. Anyways, we're gonna move on to the next item. Oh, before we do, I still want to say, I will buy the shit out of Titanfall 3.
Yeah, I will too.
And I hope, you know what, I hope it's cross-platform.
I'm sure it will be.
Well, you never know. I mean, well, we'll talk about cross-platform another day. Go ahead with the next news item, Scott.
As 2020 ends, so does Farmville. This is from Kotaku. While it looks like most of the problems of the past year will follow us into the next, there is one comforting thought. Whatever 2021 brings, Farmville is not coming with. The original super annoying Facebook social game is closing its doors for good on December 2020. December 31st, 2020. Launched in 2009, Farmville was the first big social gaming sensation. All of that ends on December 31st. Farmville is a Flash game, and with Facebook removing support for Flash games at the end of the year, it will no longer be able to maintain abandoned plots of millions of players who flocked to the game in its early days. Publisher Zynga explains the whole situation in a post on its support blog. In-app purchases will be available until November 17th, just in case anybody wanted to blow a wad of cash for old time's sake.
I feel so like the end of an era is happening here.
I never played this game. I played some Facebook games, but yeah. I really didn't like the whole throw your money into the fire pit kind of thing, and I got tired of it. And I'm wondering, are there any Facebook games that don't use Flash?
Probably, but here's the thing. A lot of popular Facebook games are also in the mobile space. Like, I play Yahtzee with Friends, which is a Facebook game, but I never play it on Facebook. I play it on my cell phone.
So I guess the cell phone is still supported, just not Facebook.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know. There's no Farmville on cell phones, really? You'd think it would be perfect for it. But now that I think about it, you know what? Those kind of games aren't on cell phones, really. You don't see the Brain Farmer, what was it, Zombie Farmer, and Farmville, and all these other types of games. Neither have been replaced with the city building games. You know those games in which you have to build up your fortress, and you have to build this, which builds that. Well, you need to build your You need to build your defense. Okay, well, for that, you need to get more troops, and for that, you need to get more of these resources. Those are the kind of games that are infesting mobile space right now, for the most part. And okay. Also, of course, the slot machine games.
The pachinko?
No, not pachinko, just slot machines.
Okay.
Wizard of Oz slot machines, Ghostbusters slot machines, zombie slot machines, you name it. But yeah, I just felt we needed to mention this because it is the end of an era. Because I remember trying to get into the Sim Social on Facebook, and it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in it either. And so Farmville, because you had to be obnoxious about it. You had to message your friends, tell them to play the game, and had to get them to do this. And it was just like, I didn't like it. This wasn't the kind of game experience that I wanted, so I just avoided all of the games after a while.
I think I did get into SimCity Social on Facebook for a bit. But unless you have a lot of friends playing, it's not worth it.
That's true.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Alrighty.
Among Us?
Yeah. Among Us 2 canceled in favor of ongoing work on the current game. From PC Gamer. A month after its announcement, a sequel to the suddenly huge multiplayer space mystery Among Us has been canceled. As far as cancellations go, it's a relatively welcome one. Studio Innersloth has opted to keep working on and fixing the original game. In its announcement, Innersloth writes that while the Among Us code base is unwieldy and antiquated, it makes sense to continue work on it given its sudden popularity. Of course, that means a lot of work adapting it for a player base much larger than the studio ever expected. We have decided to cancel Among Us 2 and instead put all of our focus into improving Among Us 1. The post reads, all of the content we had planned for Among Us 2 will instead go into Among Us 1. Following the game's sudden ascent to widespread Twitch popularity, its servers have been copping a hammering, which is a situation still being addressed. More excitingly, colorblind support is on the horizon, as is a new stage and a friend system.
So, for those who don't know Among Us, it is basically Battlestar Galactica, the board game, in which, or any other trader game, in which one person is a trader and the others are regular people, and problems pop up on the ship, and you have to fix them, and the trader is trying to kill everybody. But they can't. Yeah. They have to do it where no one is watching.
It's kind of like Mafia, but only a lot more interactive. You can see the action, and you can see what other people are doing. So it's a little bit more interesting, I think. You don't have to type things out. You could just,
you
talk to people.
You don't type things out because at some point someone can call a meeting to decide who amongst us just screwed that up, and people vote to see who tosses who out the airlock.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with it is that it's not very well made. They're right about the netcode being really antiquated. Sometimes for several hours you try to join a game, there's no one playing, apparently. You'll just get bounced back with none. A lot of annoying stuff. And it manipulating your character feels eh. I'd prefer if it was not mouse and keyboard, but rather a gamepad. The game is basically made to do a gamepad, and it should have that, real gamepad support in which you move around with an analog stick. So,
yeah, this game, it was out there for like 2 years before suddenly it just hit, like, and it went from like a handful of people to suddenly, like, it was just reported as of today that over this last weekend they got over 3 million people playing at the same time.
Wow.
And remember, each game, the price of the game is $5. So just think about how much money they just got.
I don't think the game has to look great. I think it's just a matter of it's the interaction with other people is the main gameplay.
It feels like a loosely made indie game, which it is. what they need to do is hire 5 more people and start cranking out a new engine with better netcode support. I mean, it's fine to have colorblind support, but you know what you need? You need netcode.
Yeah, who could have possibly expected, like, you have a game out for 2 years, and then suddenly it just goes Twitch crazy. Like, streamers just boost it to the moon. Like, how do you prepare? It's the same thing that happened to Fall Guys. Is those guys were expecting
the difference
to have,
between Fall Guys and this guy game is that Fall Guys wasn't out for 2 years before it became popular.
Right. It was kind of like skirting around in the news and everything, and everyone had it kind of on their periphery and was interested. But, like, Mediatonic had no idea how many people were going to be jumping in on launch day. And I think it's kind of incredible because, like, you know, as an indie developer, you don't want to buy too much server space and then not have a bunch of people show up. And this is kind of the opposite problem where, like, these guys are suddenly having, like, mountains upon mountains of players just flooding their servers.
The problem with the game is that when I play, it feels like it's 1 second away from crashing.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's a $5 game.
I know, so, like, I'm just saying, it feels like a cheap indie game. It's a great concept, but it's a draft. You know, you need, and I agree they shouldn't do the Among Us 2. They should do Among Us 1.1. I don't know. It's the sort of game that might disappear quickly. But I played a lot of Battlestar Galactica the board game, which is basically you on a ship, and just less than half of you are traitors. And the best part of Battlestar Galactica, the board game, there's a reveal phase. You don't even know if you're a Cylon. You could be a sleeper agent and not even know it. And then you turn over, you have 2 loyalty cards, you know one, and then you have to turn the other over, and it's like, guess what? You were with the bad guys this whole time and didn't even know it. Which is why when you're playing Battlestar Galactica in the first phase, it's sort of like you don't want to do too well. Because if you do too well, you might be screwing yourself. What's even better is if that someone gets 2 Cylon cards. They were a Cylon, and now they turn it over, they have another Cylon cards. Which means they could actually make someone else a Cylon, no matter who they are.
Yeah. And I kind of love games like this. Like, the Thing board game does the same thing, where, like, everybody is trying to work together, except for one person who nobody knows is the Thing. And they're trying to sabotage and or escape. And I think these games, like, in their nature, are just fun. They're, like,
hey,
it's.
I play endlessly Town of Salem on my free time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I think in their nature, like, games of deception
social
and, like, pretend
is the official term for it.
Are just plain fun when they're done right.
And one of the problems I have with Among Us, and they really need to do something about this, it goes a little too fast. For a social deduction game, you want to slow it down just enough so that you can start thinking. Because, you know, if someone breaks off from you, it's like you only have 2 seconds to react. You know, what you need to do is you have to have more people aware of what's going on and able to make bad accusations against each other. Because the best parts of those games, of course, is the people accusing everybody else of being something that they're not, while the person who's a traitor is giggling to himself and just, you know, encouraging the wrong opinions. There's sort of a voyeuristic thing when you are the evil, when you are the traitor. You get to watch other people make their own reality. When you know that it's you who's actually stirring the drink there.
Yeah, like there's, and that's one of the other things about a game like this is that you kind of it allows players to create the narrative and, like, build their culture around it, because you had, like, there is a whole bunch of terminology and lingo that is built up around the Among Us community that, like, if you haven't played the game, you might not know when you first get in there. But once you play it for like a month or two, you'll be saying things like sus.
Oh, well, sus is with Town of Salem. But I first knew that it was starting to affect Town of Salem when people started talking about venting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was watching Jacksepticeye, and he kept getting accused of being the imposter, whether he was one or not. Because he's just acting sus. He's always acting sus.
I think the term was taken from Town of Salem, because in that game you have the sheriff, and the sheriff always says 13-0 for sus.
But it doesn't really matter where it came from. The fact of the matter is it's a part of the community.
It's bleeding. They bleed into each other. Now in Town of Salem, you have people talking about venting. Venting has nothing to do with Town of Salem. That is a pure Among Us term.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, and other people saying, I saw him at the O2.
And so that goes back to my original point of, like, this is the kind of game that allows players to make – like, it's very bare bones – outside of the conditions for winning and losing. But, like, it allows players to create their narrative from it. And that's kind of what makes it amazing. It kind of makes it, like, it allows it to continue to live and evolve and be its own thing. And it allows every game to be, like, more interesting because everybody has a different personality and they're going to play it a different way.
That's what I was saying before about it's about the players' interaction with each other and not so much about how pretty or well made the game is. It's like it's basically voice chat with little interactive pictures you get to do.
And you know, that makes me wonder why the fuck hasn't Avalon or Resistance or Secret Hitler made it to the into the digital space?
I don't know what any of those things are.
Okay.
They're a bunch of board games.
Resistance is the original. Okay, here's the thing. People love Werewolf, right? But there's a problem with Werewolf. And that is if you're lynched first, guess what? The game's over for you. You can just leave. Resistance and Avalon are games in which no one is ever killed. You have a majority of blue people and a minority of red people. The red people all know who each other are, and they're trying to fail the missions. But you can never get anybody kicked out. You can get someone ostracized. Yeah, they're probably red. Don't put them on the mission. But they're still there, and they're still voting, you know. So those games, you should see Avalon. I mean, Avalon is basically the standard bearer right now for social deduction games right now. And Secret Hitler basically took Avalon and added a few powers and then had two levels of voting, a lot more ways to win and a lot more ways to lose. So, I mean, I'm just shocked that those games haven't made it into the digital space. They're made for the digital space. I mean, you won't have bots, and that's by the way, that's one thing, is that social deduction games will never have bots, and if they do, it'll be very tricky to do, because then you'd have to somehow pass the Turing test.
Yeah. I hope these games continue to be made. I hope they continue to get better, because I really enjoy them. I would, like... Among Us is like – it's like you say. It's a pretty cheap game, and you get what you pay for.
But it's there's something there.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see something like Avalon or the thing, the board game, adapted into like an actual video game.
There's also Game of Thrones Oathbreaker, which is a lesser known one, but it's also pretty good. It has a slightly more complicated win-lose condition. By the way, I saw a video for a similar game to Among Us, except it's completely co-op. There's no trader, and it's called Space Crew. And I discovered it's actually the space version of Bomber Crew. And fortunately, Bomber Crew is free on Xbox. I don't know if it's Gold or if it's Game Pass. But in that game, Space Crew is basically Starfleet Command, you know. What was that was it PlayStation 4 game in which everybody had a role on the starship? And when shit hit the fan, okay, engineer, go there and fix the engines, and I'm going to stay here and fire. And tactical officer, blah, 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 blah. That's what space crew is. And every single person has a role to play, and they have to do it. And they're always setting out fires, either literally or figuratively. You know, it's like everything's happening at once in real time, and everybody's scrambling to, I'll take care of this, you take care of this, I'll take care of this, you'll take care of this. You know? So that's another kind of game I really like, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what playing Bomber Crew and seeing how Space Crew is. Have you heard of these games?
I have not.
Okay, well, the trailer for Space Crew was just released. I think it was yesterday. So just look up Space Crew trailer, and you'll see what it's like. And it's kind of exciting. A lot of people were disappointed it wasn't Among Us coming to console, but there's a long time before that happens. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next news item. Amazon is also warning Xbox Series X pre-order customers that their consoles might show up late, and this comes to us from The Verge. I'm not even going to read the text for this. I'm just going to say, told you so. How is it not possible that somehow Amazon would fuck up the PlayStation 5 pre-orders and not fuck up the Xbox Series X pre-orders?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the NVIDIA RTX 3080. Hey, look, you know, it's like three different types of gamers all have the same problems. The Xbox gamer, the PlayStation gamer, and the PC gamer.
Yeah. And I mean, like, sucks. It really does. It really does for anyone who's trying to... I mean, on one hand, I feel like people shouldn't be that worried, because, like, what the heck are you going to play on day one? Sure, you can get into Game Pass, but, like, there's not a lot of next-gen titles that are coming out in November. Besides...
Oh, you have... You do have Yakuza 0.
Cyberpunk 2077 is the big one. Outside of that, I can't think of any other reason why I would really need the next-gen console when it launches.
And if you're pre-ordering an Xbox Series S, guess what? Cyberpunk 2077 is smart forward.
Yeah. I don't know. Like
smart delivery. Smart forward. Ah, oh, damn, I forgot the name of it.
I guess what I'm trying to say is don't smart delivery. I guess what I'm trying to say is don't buy on eBay.
Yeah. I hate reading how I got 62 pre-orders. You know what they should have done? They should have limited one per postal address. You know, where you're shipping it.
That would be a good one. They also should have done CAPTCHA.
Yeah, they but even also... more so than CAPTCHA. I mean, if you just... You don't even need to change it. Just make sure that, you know, only one household address gets it. How many fake households are you going to be able to do? Are you going to call your friend, hey, listen, I want to ship something over to your place. Can you hold it for me? But I'm trying to pre-order one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It sucks. It really does. I was lucky to get my N route.
You're about to say, yeah, you got the raffle, so you don't have to worry about any of that.
I didn't. I got my N route, and I was lucky to get my N route, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do Taco Bell now.
I do wish you luck. That's gonna be a lot of diarrhea coming your way.
No, actually, you know, here's the thing. All you need to do is order a soda, medium or a large. That's it.
Oh, there you go.
I wonder how fast those cups are gonna go, but you know. But seriously, the only reason why I want to pre-order it is so I don't have anything to worry about. But then I realize, you know what? I'm looking up on GameStop. I can get $175 credit for the Xbox One X.
That's good.
So I may just say, screw it. I'm just going until there's Xbox Series X in store, and then I'll just do a trade-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already have an Xbox One that's sitting in the bottom shelf. So if I ever have a breakdown of my Xbox Series X, I still have the old school launch Xbox One. By the way, I am so glad they're doing USB-C with controllers now.
Yes. I'm happy to see them doing not only USB-C, but like they have the memory ports.
Oh, they do have it. And God, here's the thing. The Xbox Series S is $300 and a 1 terabyte thumb drive to stick into it as extra memory is $220. So you're buying a $300 console and sticking something that's almost as expensive inside it.
Yeah, and that, like, it's ridiculous that they would charge that much for it, but, like, their reasoning behind it is that it uses special technology that is made to go faster with the Xbox Series S.
In other words, it's an Ultra Extreme SD card. Got it. By the way, the Xbox Series S, through inflation, is the second cheapest console ever released.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
What's still holding on to the first spot?
I don't know. If I was to guess, I would guess it was the Zeebo or something stupid like that. I don't know, but it's the second cheapest. And, you know, $300 was like $200-some-odd like 10 years ago. And so I can believe it. Anyways, we've had too much happy news. Let's do some downer news. Go ahead, TJ. Actually, the pre-orders, people not getting their pre-orders is sort of downer news, but let's go even down, worse, further down.
Spider-Man PS4 owners can't upgrade to the PS5 version for free, from WCCF Tech. Last week, Sony announced that Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition will come with a full remaster of the original Marvel's Spider-Man, but neglected to mention whether they'd offer any sort of smart delivery option that would allow PS4 owners of the game to upgrade to the PS5 version for free. Developer Insomniac Games has already admitted cross-gen saves won't be possible, but some players were still holding out hope that they wouldn't have to double-dip it to get access to next-gen Peter Parker. Well, the folks at Kotaku finally pried a statement out of Sony, and it isn't good news. As many feared, the only way to get your hands on Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered is to purchase Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition for PS5. Now, those who buy Miles Morales on PS4 can upgrade to the PS5 version of that game for free, but you'll need to pay an extra fee to get the Spider-Man Remastered version. Sony has also confirmed that those who buy a physical version of Spider-Man Miles Morales for PS4 won't be able to get their free PS5 upgrade if they have the all-digital version of the console. That seems obvious.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious.
Spider-Man Miles Morales swings into PS4 and PS5 on November 12th or November 19th, depending on where you live.
Yeah, basically U.S. or Europe.
This was silly and confusing when they came out with it, because it was like they had this freaky, weird, obscure, stupid, convoluted way of putting it, where it was like, okay, so if you buy the Spider-Man Miles Morales, you can Ultimate Edition, you'll get a Spider-Man Remastered for PS5. If you buy Spider-Man Miles Morales for PS4 or PS5, you'll be able to upgrade to PS5. If you buy Spider-Man regular on PS4, you won't be able to upgrade to PS5. But you can buy Spider-Man. It was so stupidly weird the way they put it. Why not just say either – it's about money. It is absolutely about money.
And not so coincidentally, Microsoft released another trailer about smart delivery. And basically, I think this is their revenge for the entire used games thing back in 2013 at E3.
Yeah. This is a mess. I really hope they change their mind on this, because it's just kind of stupid to make people have to buy the same game twice if they're going to move it up to the next console.
Oh, Nintendo loves to do that, though.
Yeah, they sure do.
So I don't know. I don't know if it'll be the PR disaster now than it will be to people who didn't hear about this. Because here's the thing, a lot of us listen to the video game news, but a lot of people don't. And you're going to have a lot of people saying, why isn't my disc for the PS4 version of Spider-Man upgrading on the PS5?
Yeah, I don't know. I really wish that PlayStation would stop dicking people around and expecting publishers to come up with their own version of smart delivery.
I will say, you know, congrats to CD Projekt Red and other third-party developers who are buying into the smart delivery thing. I mean,
right.
They don't have to.
Right. And CD Projekt Red has already confirmed that
the
Cyberpunk...
PS5 is.
Yeah, and there have been a handful of others that have said that too. That said, it's like... It's definitely... Xbox is kind of like pushing it and being like, come on, do smart delivery. Just do it, please. And PlayStation 5 is kind of like, do whatever. Yeah. And it's definitely like, I don't know. It sucks.
Well, here's the thing. All first-party Xbox games will be smart delivery no matter what. Which
right.
actually makes people happy about them now owning Bethesda. By the way, speaking of that, Dishonored 2 is now permanently on Game Pass. It's not leaving, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Like, the only game that I've heard of that has had any issue with smart delivery so far for Xbox has been Control, because they're forcing people to buy the Ultimate Edition of the game if they want to get, like, smart delivery. Which is stupid, but, I mean...
On the other hand, you know, Remedy is no longer a first... were they ever... I think they were a first-party developer for Microsoft. Or were they second... I know that a lot of their games were Microsoft exclusive, like Alan Wake.
That strikes me as a 505 Games decision, though.
Ah, good old 505.
I don't know. I really wish that PlayStation would do even close to what Microsoft is doing with their consumer-friendly practices. But I think they're kind of self-assured about how things are going to go for them.
Well, we'll see. I mean, here's the thing. We... didn't discuss. As a matter of fact, I think we haven't talked about this, and we should. Microsoft doesn't view Sony as a competitor. As a matter of fact, they teamed up on giving xCloud to the Sony consoles. Just recently, Amazon announced Luna, which is going to be their game subscription pass, and already they have the Ubisoft pass. Now they're going to do it a little differently. It's going to be like packages of publishers. So Luna is going to have the Ubisoft Pass, in which you can play every single Ubisoft game. And the way it's doing is it's just directly from the browser. You know. It is not free for Amazon Prime, which I'm willing to bet you a year from now it'll be free for Amazon Prime owners. I'll bet you anything it's going to be free for Amazon Prime owners. But someone pointed out, you know what's not going to be on Luna? Any Bethesda games. And also, there aren't going to be any EA games, because guess what? Microsoft has signed a deal with Electronic Arts to put EA Access on Game Pass.
Uh-huh.
So my point is that Microsoft views Google and Luna and Amazon as competitors. Because here's the thing about Sony, what Sony is not. Sony is not a trillion-dollar company. Someone noted in a thing that if Google really wanted to, they would just fucking buy Sony and buy Nintendo. If they felt like it. Because they have that kind of money. Yeah, you belong to us now. Now Super Smash Bros. Is going to include all the Sony characters, too. Now have God of War versus Donkey Kong. But those are the main competitors. I would not write out Google Stadia for anything, because Google will try to make it work until they figure, maybe not. But if they do say, maybe not, it'll be like a shrug. It's like, you know what? Screw it. We tried our best. Let's start pushing Google Music now. Which they have been on my cell phone. He keeps on saying, transfer your songs to Google Music, or you will be YouTube Music, or you will be sorry. They want me to transfer everything to this YouTube Music. I can't tell you how much that offends me. This is what I get for purchasing stuff from the Google Store.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Luna does. I was talking about this the other day with a few of my colleagues.
Before we go on, you know, Luna for that Ubisoft thing only costs $6. So
yeah. One of the things that that Amazon has had time to do that Google has not is fuck up and learn from it.
Yeah, remember Amazon Games?
Yes.
By the way, Scott, you've been awfully silent. Oh, he's sleeping. We'll let him sleep. Let's continue and not wake him.
But Amazon has had a long time. Like, Google is still fresh-faced and green in the gaming space, and they'll probably figure it out eventually because they have oodles of money to throw at the situation. However, Amazon has had a long time to screw around and not get things right and learn from the things they got wrong. And I think that's going to give them an edge with Luna that Google didn't have.
You know what's really scary? You know what also Amazon owns, right?
Twitch.
Twitch, yeah.
So they have like instant and easy integration into Twitch streaming.
By the way, I know that TJ here has completely lost interest in the game because the Chiefs are basically blowing them out now. So, so yeah, they're blowing them out. I don't need to watch anymore.
I have been watching.
Oh, you have been watching, but
I'm keeping the score up because I want to see how bad it gets.
So yeah, so now that Scott has woken up, Scott, what do you think about it?
The Spider-Man not going to
the problems they have with
that really sucks. I mean, that's kind of making them buy the game twice. If you buy it on PS4 and then you can't play it on the PS5, it's not something that I like. I mean, if you buy a PS4 game, I think at this point it really should be backwards compatible at least to play.
Here's the thing: it isn't that you can't play Spider-Man on the PS5 if you have the PS4 copy. You're not going to get the remastered version. It's not going to upgrade itself. It's just going to be upscaled.
And I know Xbox is actually upscaling those games.
What?
Their games, as opposed to this one, which it really sucks.
Mom, you're calling me. Why?
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it's Sony that's doing this or whose decision to do this is.
Sony also owns the Spider-Man license too, so.
Okay, so yeah, they can do whatever they want. So yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think Sony owns the Spider-Man, but Disney's now allowed to use him. Does the MCU own him now? Did Sony sell him? Or maybe Sony only owns the video game Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think they only own the video game Spider-Man because there have been several MCU Spider-Man movies. So, yeah.
So, anyways, we're going to move on to the last one. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Nintendo Switch successor will release before 2100. That is from GameSpot. And at first I thought it was like, don't you mean 2021 or 2021? Anyway, so as part of the company's latest corporate management briefing, the firm revealed that it's working on new hardware and that will be released before the end of the century, that is to say by 2099 or earlier. A slide confirms that the Nintendo's next generation system will launch sometime in 20XX, which means that it'll be released before year 2100. Realistically, whatever the system ends up being, it'll surely be released long before the end of the century, but Nintendo isn't ready to commit to any dates. I think it's almost a nod to old 80s games that would say 20XX.
Wasn't there a game called 20XX? I know TJ loved it.
Yeah, there was. I think it was a Mega Man game.
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
I think it was a Mega Man game on the Switch that said 20XX.
Yeah, it was. It's not just on the Switch. But yeah, it was a Mega Man style game.
A Mega Man roguelike.
Here's the thing.
Right.
Back when I think it was before it was released, TJ said, well, you know, yeah, there's Mighty No. 9, but people are just paying attention more attention to 20XX.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame. So the last bit is the 3DS has completely been discontinued as of last week. The only Nintendo systems still in production are the Switch and Switch Lite. With the Lite essentially acting as its dedicated handheld, the need for a completely separate format seems to be gone.
And let's all dip our heads to the death of the 3DS.
What a great system.
I still have mine.
I will say, you know, I probably might get the DS in like a few months when it's really down in price, because it also has a huge library that's not, you know, that is easily accessible from GameStop. So
I don't know. I mean, some games go ridiculously expensive once they stop producing.
Well, no, I mean, they're not here's the thing. They're still fresh. It's not like a 10-year-old game that's selling for a lot. These are just games that have been released in the last 2 years and are still freely available. They're not rare yet. You can still go to a GameStop and say, okay, I want to buy that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, here's the thing. There is a next game. The next game system is coming out. I would say it would be coming out in, like, 2022.
Yeah, somewhere around there. That was what Ayudin Chronicles was talking about when they said that they weren't going to release immediately for Switch. They wanted to see what the next console was, to see what the specs were, and if it would be able to handle the game.
Hard drive. That's what it needs. That's all it really needs. You can have mildly better, say, 1080p graphics. Just get a hard drive. Because that's what a system needs, especially in the digital age. You need to be able to have your... That's why TJ last week said that, you know, that 1 terabyte hard drive seems awfully small.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it was the fact that the Xbox Series X has a 525 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah, wow. I'm just saying, but even at 1 terabyte, it's kind of, you know...
I mean...
kind of crowded.
Here's the fact. We just learned that Cyberpunk 2077 is going to require about 80 gigabytes of hard disks. Call of Duty takes about 150 gigabytes of hard disk space.
I have to add, by the way, you know, of that 512 gigabytes, I would say 40 of them are going to be system. So you'll have like 480 amount of space. Because you have to keep in mind that these hard drives are not completely empty, even when they're empty.
So, and my concern is that, I mean, games aren't AAA games aren't going to get smaller.
No.
So, I mean, what happens when they launch? Okay, even worse, what happens when they finally launch Microsoft Flight Simulator on Xbox?
Yeah.
It will happen. It will. You know it will.
But you know what? Microsoft has kind of sort of thought ahead on that and just said plunked a. You have those ports, so you know.
Here, have a $200 gigabyte.
You can get third party. It's not gonna be that proprietary.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
that would be the ultimate dick move.
It's really kind of sad that like the Xbox Series S is gonna be a real cheap system up until the point where you realize that modern games are going to require so much space on it.
But here's the good thing about it, though. It's going to be a tiny console, so if you buy the you'll see which is bigger, the Xbox Series S or the 2 terabyte external solid state drive you buy for it. Well, no, obviously it's going to be bigger. I'm just saying, you know, the S Series S, I just realized, is going to be the perfect portable game system. For you know, not like Switch, but I'm just saying, like, you want to have a LAN party or something.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had a LAN party?
Decades
ago. A good old-fashioned LAN party. Everybody brings their desktops. They all have their desks. They hook them up with Ethernet.
Man, that was a fun time.
Especially if you dropped your rig and oh shit.
I'm very interested to see what the new Nintendo Switch will look like, though. I do believe that it's coming soon. Actually, I believe that they'll probably talk about it next year. I would bet money on the fact that we hear about it sometime next year with like actual like like actual press releases of it.
Right.
Like I said, Nintendo has the benefit of just being techie enough. You know, they don't have to be 4K 60 frames per second. They can just be, say, 2K, like the monitor I have. You know, 2560 by 1440. They don't have to, you know, Microsoft is bragging, you know, all of our games are going to be 4K 60 frames per second. Boom. And this time we mean it, damn it.
The Nintendo Switch is, without a doubt, the Steam library that you can put in your backpack.
Yeah.
And occasionally they also release a Breath of the Wild on it, which is even more dope. And so,
or a fighting game, or a party game, or a cart game.
And so that's going to continue to matter to a lot of people, because right now, especially in the indie game community, the question is always, when's this coming to Switch? I would love to play this on Switch. That's the reason I didn't buy it. That's the reason I didn't like jump on Hades when it was in early access, is because I knew this game was coming to Switch and I wanted to play it on Switch. That's the reason I haven't jumped on Disco Elysium, despite knowing that that game is like maybe one of the best story-driven games written made in the last decade.
I don't know if that's coming to Switch. It is coming to Switch.
Uh-huh. They have not talked about it recently, but they confirmed earlier this year that they were definitely going to be working on it for Switch.
I'm thinking about getting Return to the Obra Dinn on Xbox soon. It's just like everybody raves about that game, and I love Papers, Please. And by the way, when is that coming to console? I would love for Papers, Please to come to console, to tell you the truth. Or FTL. How about FTL on console? I know it's on tablet.
Papers, Please is on PS4 and wow, it's on PlayStation 4, but not Xbox. That's kind of weird.
Not that weird. I mean, there's a lot of indie games that have popped up on PS4. Don't worry. Microsoft will buy Lucas Pope. Lucas Pope released Return of the Obra Dinn on Xbox, so I don't know what the story is there.
Yeah, who knows?
There's something I should have realized. That I said, oh, of course. They're finally going to be releasing Night of the Tentacle, Grim Fandango, and Full Throttle on Xbox. Obviously, now that Microsoft owns Double Fine, but it's like, that's one of the benefits. I said, oh, I completely forgot. Now I can get achievements for Grim Fandango, which I've been playing every year since 1998.
Yeah.
I know Grim Fandango like the back of my fucking hand, which is when I first truly fell in love with Tim Schafer. I only liked him. I was only dating him a little bit with Full Throttle. But I fell in love with Grim Fandango. We had a bit of a tiff when he released Brutal Legend. It's like, Tim, come on. This after Psychonauts? Come on, you could have done better.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Tim shouldn't have tried that a third-person action game. He didn't have to make a third-person RTS.
Yeah, that was really tacked on.
It wasn't tacked on. It was just not very integrated very well. It was gameplay loop, and they didn't do it right.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's the core gameplay loop, because you do just basically explore the world and beat up things and run around until you have those stupid Battle of the Bands moments.
You know
which
who did
is
that
like,
game better? Ensemble Entertainment with Orcs Must Die.
Yes.
And, oh, by the way, Orcs Must Die 3 has been announced a couple of months ago, so I'm looking forward to that.
But yeah, like, Nintendo Switch has really pinned down a market with their sort of hybrid console, portable, indie game player that also does Nintendo games. Like, there is always going to be a need for that.
You can thank Valve for that.
And it's always going to be a thing that I mean,
you can thank Valve for
that. Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 can do whatever they want. They can be the most like graphically intensive systems to ever come into the living room, but they can't do what the Nintendo Switch does in the way that it does it.
I mean, well, Microsoft's trying with the xCloud.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, it is smart of them to do it that way, but ultimately, I mean, it's not too much of an ask to buy a controller for your mobile device.
Well, I mean, it's not an ask at all, because so long if you have an Xbox One X, it has a Bluetooth in it, which means you can already do it. And all I'd have to do is spend $10 if I want to get a clip for it. But if you really want to do it seriously, you got to get the Kishi by Razer so that you turn your Xbox, you turn your Android into an Xbox Switch. But yeah, the problem there is that, you know, the games that you play are Game Pass games, and not a lot of them are like, you know, Papers, Please.
Yeah.
Or The Binding of Isaac. See, yeah, you can thank Valve for all that, for their complete screwing up of curation. Indie developers say, well, where can we go where we won't be shouted down by thousands and thousands of asset flip games?
I mean, Ori and the Will of the Wisp. I haven't played that yet, and I want to, but it just came out on Switch, so now I will.
Well, Microsoft released Cuphead on Switch, too. Of course, they also released Cuphead on the PS4 as well, 2 years later.
There are so many games out there that are just like, they sound more appealing to me if I can just pick them up and take them with me when I feel like it.
Well, I can do that with Ori, at least. The problem is I don't really like Ori that much. I mean, there's a lot of people who love, love, love Ori, but at some point, Ori just lost me, and it never got me back again. It's sad, but true.
That is sad.
That is very sad.
I'll just have to wait for Psychonauts 2.
It's coming, eventually.
Let's talk about that news item, which we didn't really talk about. They announced the art book, 20 Years of Double Fine.
And that's
true. It's going to be released around the same time as Psychonauts 2.
Nice.
You can describe it since you seem to be on it as well.
I mean, the Psychonauts art book?
No, it's a Double Fine art book.
Double Fine art book.
Yeah, 20 Years of Double Fine. Psychonauts will be a part of it, of course. And, Tim Schafer said that, you know, he was telling his friends, I'm trying to think of stuff I've done in the past 20 years, and I'm drawing up a blank. Why don't you just make me a book and remind me? It was announced today, and there's going to be two versions of it. There's going to be a regular version, and there's going to be a limited golden version. So, let's talk about Double Fine for a brief second. Double Fine has been one of the most creative developers in every sense of the word since they broke off from LucasArts, I guess. I mean, they never really broke off, but the people who did Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle then started doing their own games starting with Full Throttle and Grim Fandango and Psychonauts and Brutal Legend and Stacking and all that stuff.
Hmm.
And I still haven't played Day of the Tentacle.
It's very good.
I know it's good. It's an early Double Fine game. It's one of their LucasArts games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, as LucasArts, because Grim Fandango was LucasArts too. It was just a separate developer at the time.
Did Double Fine do the one where it's stacking?
Yeah, stacked.
Okay.
Stacking.
Yeah, that was
and
a good one.
And they also did Headlanders, which was basically stacking is about being a Matryoshka doll and hopping inside people, and Headlanders is just being ahead and landing on other things and taking control of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we stumbled on Tim Schafer's kink there.
You know, people sometimes give it shit, but I actually played Broken Age all the way through and enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. Part one was okay. Part two is better because they actually started taking advantage of the fact that you switch between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
In the first game, there was no reason to switch between them. There was absolutely no reason. I played as Vela, then I played as... Oh, fuck, I forgot the other guy's name.
Shay.
I played as Vela, then I played as Shay. And give it credit, I really didn't make the connection between the two until they made it. I said, oh, okay, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew this was a game that ran out of funding and also ran out of story because there was sort of a last-minute thing at the end of Part 2, which was sort of like, oh, by the way, all of this was being done by these people. These are the last-second villains. Boom. What?
Yeah.
They never foreshadowed these people. They never gave any hints. No, they're just there. And, oh, by the way, your grandma's evil.
Sure, why not?
Oh, it's not grandmother. It was the old woman of the village. But she might as well have been grandma. But otherwise, you know, I really enjoyed the story. I also enjoyed the closing credits in which the knife and the fork ran away and got married and gave birth to a spork.
Yeah, that whole I liked that whole story and all the imagination put into it.
And we had the knife being a knife, just wanted to stab everybody. That's all he wanted to do was stab people. That's my job in life. I want to stab. they could have made better use of Jack Black. Jack Black has a role in the second part. It was sort of okay. He's getting a much better part in Psychonauts 2 and a singing role. being one of Tenacious D, which makes me wonder if they're going to have Kyle Gass in the game too. And if not, why not?
Who knows?
I am really looking for, I backed it for $860. Of course I'm looking forward to Psychonauts 2. But I'm still, you know, I also found out, this was announced a couple of months ago about Psychonauts 2, but had Microsoft not funded Double Fine, they would have had to cut out the boss fights. Can you imagine Psychonauts without mental bosses?
No, that would be weird.
Yeah, that was one of the best parts. Very challenging.
Yeah. So, I'm glad Microsoft bought them. And the thing is, I'm wondering is what is going to be their next game? That's the most intriguing part. We know Psychonauts 2 is coming out. We know Double Fine is extremely creative. What's the next game?
Brutal Legend 2.
Here's the thing. Microsoft is going to tell Tim Schafer, okay, we know you have a creative brain. Just go nuts. By the way, he's subtle about it, but people may notice that Tim Schafer really loves bikers and decals and rock and roll.
Metal.
He was born a roadie. In every yes. single game that has that metal feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to thank him for introducing me to the Gone Jackals and their one album. For those who don't know, the Gone Jackals were a band, and they did all the music that's in Full Throttle. Legacy is great, and you have some other songs. So, if you buy their one album, it has all the songs from Full Throttle in it. And, you know, they may have disbanded a while ago, but they still have a huge cult following because of Full Throttle.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back to the Switch, and we're going to be wrapping this up soon. Don't worry, folks. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thing that it needs the most is more hard drive space. But, on the other hand, you know, the other thing about the Switch, though, is its portability. So, I think what Nintendo is doing is they're waiting for solid-state drives to drop in price. They don't need the fastest model. They need the most efficient model. The ones that can be shrunk down the most and still have, like, a terabyte. And be cheap. So I think that's all Nintendo is waiting for. I think they're just waiting for the components to get really inexpensive.
Yeah.
They don't have to wait. They don't. They're not in a rush.
I guarantee you one of the goals of Nintendo is to keep that price at $300 no matter what.
Or $250.
Yeah. And they're also more interested in I'm trying to think of a word that's not gimmicky toy thing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're thinking about. Accessible.
Yeah, accessories.
Friendly, family friendly, and by that I mean it looks like it's made of plastic and your kid can throw it all over the place and it won't break.
Yeah, you know, like the whole Joy-Con motion control, the whole, you know, just these things that are more than just sitting with a gamepad controller in your hand, which I'm fine with, but Nintendo wants to do something a little bit different. I guess that's why they don't view themselves as competition to Microsoft and PlayStation, is because they're doing something different than they're focusing on mobile.
They're harkening back to those old handheld games by Tiger with LED screens. That's basically what they're making, except it's a lot more technically advanced. And here's the thing. I think they feel like they found their sweet spot of all time by having a console that is also their handheld console at the same time.
I think they're going to do a little bit more than just a hard drive upgrade.
No, but that's the thing they need the most going forward in terms
right.
of being viable in this day and age. You need the storage.
I agree with you that storage will probably be the first priority. I think that the second priority will be finding a way to boost it up to 4K when it's in docked mode and putting it in 1080p and when it's in handheld.
I think they might go with 2K. They don't have to have bleeding edge. Oh, but, you know, on the other hand, you know, 4K may not be bleeding edge by the time they get there anyway, because, I mean, you can already buy an 8K TV, right?
Uh-huh.
There's nothing you can really get for it except maybe Baraka, you know. So, yeah, I mean, Nintendo's just playing the waiting game here. They're just waiting for components to get nice and cheap so that they can have an advanced console. Also, you have to think they're thinking about the people who are going to think, why do I need this? I already have a Switch. Because that's,
right.
that's what doomed the Wii U. Why do I need a Wii U? I already have a Wii.
See, that's why I wouldn't buy a Switch 2 if it was just a hard drive.
No, it'll be more. I'm just saying, they might even call it something else. They might not even call it a Switch. They may call it a Playbo.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that the thing that allowed you to make a paper version of the Xbox Series X?
No.
Yeah, so they actually released plans on how to make a paper version of the Xbox Series X so that, A, you can know how big it is. And I was thinking, oh, great, it's the Microsoft Labo. Here's your question, Scott. Are they still releasing Labo products?
I don't know. I haven't seen them. They might be. I'll have to check.
They still do sell them.
Okay.
They sell them, but I think you mean, are they releasing new stuff?
It's just a weird little cul-de-sac for Nintendo there.
Yeah. I think it was a neat little experiment and probably better than some of their previous ones. Definitely better. Everything is pretty much better than Virtual Boy, but this was definitely better than that one.
Yeah, well, like, you know, they still haven't released that one that measures your heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the various things that they had, like the big trackpad that you had to run on, the little
Wii Fit,
the arm cannon that would be on your shoulder, and the light gun, and the big giant joystick pad, and you know, they've had all sorts of peripherals throughout the years.
Well,
oh, of course, the power glove.
It's
yeah.
so bad. Never were truer words spoken, even though
yep.
not in the way they expected.
That is very true.
I mean, well, here's the thing. You know, they tried to do Kinect before the Kinect, and it didn't work. So yeah. Like I said, I haven't bought a Sony console for myself since the 2DS. I'm not the 2DS. No, just the DS. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's the Nintendo DS. Mainly because Pokemon games were not improving, and I was getting annoyed at it. That was basically the only reason why I ever bought a Nintendo handheld, was to play the Pokemans, and the Pokemans did nothing for me because they never made it better. And they never will. And there's an entire long explanation I can give for that, but I'm not going to give it right now. Let's just say the main reason for Pokemon existing is merchandising. It's not the game, it's the merchandising. That's where they make the money. So, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Or set us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some iTunes comments, and we will see who the fans vote for at MineCon. And you still want the glow squid, huh?
Yes, I think it would be a nice aesthetic. I just like... You know, I don't need the cow flowers, and I don't need another mob trying to kill me. So I would like this nice, pretty little squid that I can just look at and be like.
Let me ask
look.
You a question. Where is your base? Where's your base? Is it near the ocean? Is it near the mountains?
It's in the mountains. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, you don't want the isolators.
Right. I don't need some mob throwing big ice clouds at me and just. being obnoxious. I mean, we already have the ice skeleton. I can't remember what its name is called, but it shows up in the ice biomes and shoots you, and it's like, great, that's wonderful.
Do you have the ice version of those green testicles?
Yeah, so it's like, you got the creeper, and that's one of the ultimate mobs, honestly, because you're just walking there, you don't hear it, you suddenly turn a corner, and there's a creeper, and it blows up and just ruins your day. So.
And it had that frowny face on it, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I've been waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take out all my aggressions on you, because you exist.
Yeah.
Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming,
wait a minute,
everyone.
Wait a minute. Oh. No. You can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
And I'm at Alpha Shard.
And we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.